Our scripture reading this morning will be Romans chapter 10. We'll begin with the 5th verse and we'll read through the 13th verse of Romans chapter 10. That's on page 946 in your pew Bibles. Page 946, beginning with the 5th verse of the 10th chapter. Paul's letter to the Romans. Hear now the word of God. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thus we've read 5 through 13 of Romans chapter 10. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, this is your holy word and we praise and thank you for it. You've given it to us so that we might learn of you. We ask that you would accomplish that purpose this morning. That you would equip us for life and godliness. And that you would be with the proclamation of your name this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here has just been talking about the Gentiles who have discovered the righteousness of God even though they didn't pursue it, and how the Jews, even though they pursued it by the law, stumbled and fell over the stumbling stone that is Jesus Christ. And he tells us here the difference between the righteousness of trying to follow the law and the righteousness that is found so clearly in Christ Jesus. The wonderful, gracious gift that ends in the gospel of Jesus Christ, reminding us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a beautiful passage. If you confess in your heart, or confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. And he starts by reminding us that Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. We can see this all throughout the Old Testament, this idea that if you're going to do the law, you have to do all the law, that life comes through the commandments, but it's also implied that so does death. For to live by the law means you'll die by the law. Do this and live also teaches if you don't do it, you're going to die. We'll just look at a small portion of the Old Testament evidence. Leviticus 18 verse 5 says, keep my statutes and judgments, for the man who does these things will live by them, for I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God, that we might always prosper and be preserved as we are to this day. Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We see both sides. Do this and live, and cursed are you if you don't do it. And Proverbs 19 verse 6, he who keeps a commandment preserves his soul, but he who is careless in his ways will die. We could go on and on showing this throughout the Old Testament. We could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God tells Adam, don't eat of the tree. If you eat of the tree, you will die. That's the righteousness that comes from the law. You do it and you'll live. You don't do it and death. And that's not good news. Paul's already told us this in Romans, the first three chapters. He showed us that this is not good news because no one seeks after righteousness. No, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law cannot be kept. It reveals our sin. It shows us that we don't keep these laws, and therefore we can't live by them. But we will indeed die by them. The law leads to death if we try to find our righteousness by the law. And that's not good news. But the law was always designed to point away from your own works, to point away from yourself, to say you should look for righteousness from another source, God Himself. All the sacrifices and ceremonies of the Old Testament system pointing you to that true Lamb without spot or blemish who we know to be Jesus Christ. In Him you can live. The gospel is the good news, and it's the gospel of Jesus. The law is not good news. We need Jesus, and we need to receive His righteousness ultimately by faith. Verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith says, don't say in your heart who will ascend and who will descend. Let me first make sure that we don't read verse 6, the righteousness based on faith, as if somehow faith is the new work. It's the new law. That's wrong. Heidelberg Catechism question 6 deals with this very thing. Why do you say that you're righteous by faith only? And the answer is, not that I'm acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and I can receive the same and make it my own in no other way than by faith only. It's not that your faith makes you worthy. It's not as if faith is some new work. No, faith is just the instrument by which we receive the wondrous gift of Jesus. His righteousness, His satisfaction, His holiness. It's the object of faith that matters. And that object is Jesus. Faith simply receives. And Paul here is making sure we understand that the righteousness of God is received by faith and not by works. It's not a righteousness that I can earn in any way. Rather, I passively receive it. And that fits with what was said earlier when we remember Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. Which is what goes on now that Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 30 verses 10 through 14 with the who will ascend and who will descend and the word is near you. And what he's saying here is that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is not far off. It doesn't have to be earned. It's not something that has to be achieved. Who will ascend means we don't climb up to heaven with our works to bring the righteousness of Jesus Christ down to us. We don't have to do something that draws Christ's attention so that then He gives us the righteousness. I believe that even Deuteronomy, as Paul is doing here, is referencing the idea of that Tower of Babel. Where they were going to build the tower up to heavens and they were going to be recognized by God. They were going to be like God. It was going to be great and wonderful. They were going to ascend to heaven by building brick by brick this great tower. They were going to climb up to heaven themselves. And Paul is saying that's not how we do it. It's not our effort that draws Christ down to us or draws the attention of God to us. We don't have to put the brick of good work on top of the brick of good work until we're finally good enough and worthy enough to receive that gift of the righteousness of Christ. That's not how it works. We don't need to build giant monuments to get God's attention. We don't need to earn the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's no works or no deeds and no earning. Nor will we descend into the abyss or into hell in order to bring Christ up. It's not as if Christ's righteousness somehow isn't quite enough and we need to add stuff to it. which is the picture he's using here of descending, in order to make it alive. Or maybe in today's age, we don't need to add our works as an activation fee so that we can all log on. Jesus Christ is enough. It's not Christ and. It's Christ alone. Christ's righteousness needs nothing from us. It's perfect now. Both these ideas of ascending into heaven or descending into hell are pictures of that somehow Christ's righteousness is far from you and you need to do something. And Paul's saying, no, the Word is near you. Christ is here. He's not far. His righteousness is not far. In fact, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He says it again in verse 13, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not about your works. It's not about earning. It's not about deserving. It's about, do you believe? You can almost hear people objecting, wait, that's easy believism. There's got to be more to it than that. And Paul here is saying, no, there's really not. The message is repent and believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. It's that simple. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to do stuff. Jesus' words are, Father, forgive them. The gospel is not complicated. It's not hard. Because the gospel is not about works. It's not about earning. It's not about deserving. It's about Jesus. The gospel is near. Christ is near. It's for you and for me. It's for everyone. And the message is believe and confess. Because salvation is found in believing. It's not found in works, but in faith. If you believe and confess Jesus Christ, then you've been loved of God and predestined of God, called of God, justified by God, glorified by God, all those wonderful things in Romans 8. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, those things are true of you now. And yes, that means you'll never be separated from the love of God, and you're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Those things don't come from our own works. They come from heaven above. It's not from flesh and blood, but from our Father who's in heaven. That's what Jesus tells Peter in Matthew 16 when He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. This doesn't come from flesh and blood. It comes from your Father who's in heaven. If you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then God has already worked a work in you and you are saved. That's the gift of salvation. Salvation is not a debt that God owes you. It's not a wage that you earn. It's a gift. So believe in your heart. Believing in our heart is faith. It's how we know and trust the gospel message. And we have to believe in our heart that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. We have to believe what's recorded in the Gospels, that He died on the cross for you and for me, that He was born of the Virgin, that He rose on the third day, that He later ascended into heaven, that He's promised to come again. We believe the Gospel message. We believe the report that's been given to us. We don't get to alter the report. We don't get to change it. We don't get to say, well, I like this part. I don't like that part. That's not believing the message. That's rejecting it. We have the message of Christ. If we believe it is true, then you're saved. And then we confess with our mouth. We confess that belief because that belief affects us. And it will rule our lives. And therefore confession will be made. Whoever shall confess me before men, I shall confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. The confession that flows from our heart through our mouth is the evidence of our faith. Confession shows that our heart has been changed and we have a new priority in our life, and it is Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus. It shows that it's more than just head knowledge. Because there are people who know the truth and could pass it on a test if you gave them a written exam. They could get the answers right and check the right boxes. But they don't truly believe because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love the world. Paul gives us an example in the New Testament of Demas, who's with him and serving with him in several of the epistles, but by the end, we hear that Demas has abandoned the gospel and abandoned Paul, and we're told why? Because he loved the world more. He would have been able to get the answers right. He learned the gospel from Paul. He could have checked all the right boxes, but he didn't believe in his heart. And his heart was still the world. So we believe and then we confess that Jesus is our Lord, our ruler, the King of Kings. We don't hide our belief under a bushel, as the song used to say. Or as the people in Paul's time would soon learn, that belief meant that they wouldn't let the government tell them that they have to pinch an incense to Caesar. Today, maybe we would say this belief means we don't let peer pressure at our school make us live like unchristians, non-Christians, unbelievers, or pagans. Or our work changes us into people who don't speak or know the Lord Jesus Christ. That confession is evidence of the heart change and the salvation that has already taken place. For no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 12:3. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved, verse 10. What a wonderful truth. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Everyone. Which brings us to the first application that Paul wants us to see here. Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's sad that sometimes things still need to be said out loud. But in today's climate, we need to be reminded of what we're being told clearly here by Paul, that Jesus is Lord of all who believe. Jew or Greek, which would have been the starkest of contrasts and distinctions back then. Generational hatred between the two. We can substitute whatever it is today. Any other divisions, black or white, rich or poor. Jesus is the Savior of us all, regardless of color or nationality or any other distinction one can imagine. If I can quote another old children's song, Jesus loves the little children. It's still correct. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. We should still teach it and believe it. Paul brings that point out here because of the high tension and the generational hatred between Jews and Gentiles. Paul is saying, no, if you are saved, you are saved in the same way, in the same manner, by the same love, by the same Lord. You are all saved by Jesus. And therefore, there is no more generational hatred. There is no more distinction. The wall of separation has been torn down, as Paul says in Ephesians. And we are one in Christ. And we must view each other now as brothers and sisters, equals in Christ. There's no place for anything else. No place for the hatred. No place for the distinctions. No place for the differences. We are one in Christ, who is the Savior and Lord of us all. Because everyone who calls upon the Lord is saved. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. Yeah, you have to know who the Lord Jesus is. You have to know the witness in order to believe. You have to hear it. But once you know the Lord Jesus and you call upon Him, salvation is yours. Now. There's nothing withheld. There's nothing left to earn. There's nothing you have to add. You don't have to go and try to get God's attention through your great deeds. You don't have to add to Christ's righteousness to make it alive. You are saved now. All that you need is given to you in Christ Jesus. That's the wonderful news of the gospel. You, who are a wretched sinner, can be saved if you believe. Christ then has died for you. And you won't be put to shame. Your guilt's removed. You are now a son and daughter of Christ. All of the blessings of salvation in Christ are yours. Amen. Can you see why we sing songs like Praise Him, Praise Him? Tell of His excellent greatness. Which is the last application. Tell others of His excellent greatness. We've got this wonderful message that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And believe with your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. And we live in a world of people who are floundering for hope. Or desperately grasping for anything to give their life meaning. Who are concerned about death and what happens next. And we have the answer. We have the answer to what comes next. We confessed it just earlier in this service. What comes next for those who don't believe? Everlasting fire and damnation. But for those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll wipe away your tears and you'll live with Him forever in joy and bliss. This is a message that has to be shared. You don't need a theological degree to share the gospel. The message is believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved. Jesus Christ is near. Don't trust in your works. Believe. I think Paul is telling us the gospel is just that simple. Preach to them that Jesus died. Preach to them He rose from the dead. Preach to them it's because of their sin. And that if they believe, they can be forgiven. The gospel call is not a hard call. It's not a difficult call. It's not something that we have to do or earn. It's believe in Jesus and you shall be saved. Trust in God and you will be saved. Proclaim that truth to those who need to hear it. Be a witness for Him. Let us go to the Lord now and ask Him for strength to do just that. Let us pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do thank You. For what those wondrous gift. Because we confess that our works are filthy rags. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Salvation will never be if it was up to us. But it's not up to us. It's up to You. and you gave us Jesus. Thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you. Help us tell others. Help us share the truth that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, that we will be saved. Strengthen us with your Holy Spirit to live it out and to share it with those who need it and to trust you for the increase. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.